Welcome to the Local Spotlight Show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I have my good friend and great coach, Rick Johns, with me. He was on the episode before, and we're just got in the middle of a story, and we ran out of time, so we're taking off from there.
Okay.
And it was halftime at Tri-Oak.
First-round playoff game, a Wednesday afternoon. I used to play Wednesday, Saturday in those playoff games, and it was a Wednesday afternoon. And
go ahead. Were you guys down?
Yeah.
Downtown? Yeah.
It was close, but it was down, and we still, to win the game, we had to make a stop on fourth down. Kid named John Bick made a hell of a play on a bootleg play, I remember. But anyway.
With Jonah White. The story about Jonah.
Yeah, Jonah. Yeah. It was tough, and I think we were all losing our mind, you know, at half because we were good.
Yeah,
and we knew we were good. And anyway, we just sit down, and I remember I had a young man who said something to the effect of what, you know, just wasn't getting a read. Thing is, his job, he didn't have to read anything. He had a very specific job, so I kind of lost my cool on him a little bit. But then Jonah spoke up. He just said, Coach, I'm going to clean this up a little bit. Give me the freaking ball, 40 and 41. That's where inside trap plays.
Yeah.
Until I drop. I said, okay. And we started the second half with a ball. We ran 40 and 41, 9 straight plays right into the end zone. And next time we got the ball back, pretty well the same thing. And they just
couldn't stop it.
No, we could have told them what we were going to run.
They didn't believe it.
It didn't matter. It didn't matter. They couldn't have stopped us with 12 kids. But anyway, we dug out, and we ended up taking the lead and hanging on to win. But, yeah, that was Jonah in a nutshell. Not a bit of finesse. You know, if I had to tell a bad story about him, one time we were playing Greenfield, the game we lost that year. He breaks into the open, he's wide open. He got some poor little safety out there, scared to death, you know, out in the middle of the field. Jonah steps one way or the other. It's a touchdown. No, not Jonah. He has to run this kid over, and he ran him over, but then tripped.
Yeah.
You know, he just tripped on the body. You know? Yeah. Anyway, that was Jonah, man. Just no finesse at all, none. But he did get better as the season went on as far as running with his eyes a little bit. And that's how he had the great semifinal game against Lexington, where their defense was their pride and joy, and he came within like 5 yards of rushing for 300 yards in that game. So,
How about that Nate Lorton kid?
Nate Lorton still, you know, pound for pound, the best player I've ever coached. It's, you know, I've had kids
really?
Division the one levels. One? Yeah, I've had kids play Division One. You know, and but we're talking about the high school level, and I'm saying pound for pound. Now, would he have had the same success at Belleville West against all those great athletes? I don't think so. But I'm just saying, you know, it's all relative. Where he was against great kids like him, great programs like him, he was the most complete player I've ever had. And the thing is about Nate, he didn't care if it was defense, offense, or special teams. He was going to give 100%. And that's all you can give. I don't care what people say about 110, crap. You can give 100%, and that's it. And you know what? I mean, he really did. A lot of kids think they're giving their all. That kid, a punt winning 45-0 in the fourth quarter against North Green, to him, that was like 4th-and-1 in a state championship game.
Didn't matter.
He was on that field. It was all he had right now. That's how he played.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of kids think they're doing that. They're not.
Yeah. I just remember as a spectator, I remember one time, and you can tell a story, but those years where you'd win, You know, I mean, you'd be 45-50 to nothing in the first mm-hmm. half, you know, yeah. and then, you know, the second team would play a lot. But you didn't like to get scored on. That was kind of like nobody's scoring on the defense.
Right.
And for somebody, they broke one away and they got to the 2 yard line and you put in the number one defense, you know, mm-hmm. keep them from scoring. And I think your assistant coach at that time was the, who was your assistant?
Brandenburg,
right. And he came to the huddle. This is just hearsay from the other guys, you know.
Yeah.
And he says, if they score, you're doing like, I don't know, 10 hills or something if they score. And Nate is in the background, and he goes, make it 20.
That sounds about right.
Team look at him like, hey, what'd you do that for?
Yeah.
So,
anyway, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. You know, I would like to say where all that came from. Whenever I got to Calhoun, you know, my second year, we were getting beat like 45-0 at halftime at Triopia. And their principal came up and walked off the field with me. And he said, now, you know, Coach Johns, Coach Kemp, he is going to substitute on offense, but he will protect this shutout. And for whatever reason—
kind of stuck with you?
Yeah. In the WIVC, shutouts were to be protected.
Uh-huh.
And I always— and when I was at Calhoun, I always protected a shutout. That's a special thing. It's like, I guess I'm the kind of guy that's not going to pull a kid throwing a no-hitter. You know?
Yeah.
We're going to see this out. Anyway, so that's where that came from.
Now, do you remember that the kid Craig Robine?
Yeah, he's what a great kid. And so many different levels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, played great at high school.
Yeah.
Player. Played Indiana. And then— and played in the—
he made it to Final Cut for the Broncos or something like that, yeah.
Yeah, but he ended up playing—
in Europe?
In a Europe league.
Yeah.
And he was over in Scotland, playing for a team in Scotland.
Yeah, the Claymores.
Yeah.
You know, he's got an interesting story in that when he was a rookie, I think he was trying out for Denver. They're the ones that gave him a free agent look.
Yeah.
And Peyton Manning used to love— it was in Indianapolis.
Yeah, Indianapolis.
Indianapolis. Peyton Manning would like to sit and watch film with his linemen. That was a big thing for Peyton. And Craig was in on that.
Yeah.
In that room, you know, which was pretty cool. And then he got cut and he came back later on and he tried out for Denver. And who was quarterback? Peyton Manning.
That's right.
He got to sit right and, you know, and watch film with Peyton Manning.
He was in the huddle with Peyton.
Yeah.
Before also. Yeah. You know,
sure.
And I think some pregame stuff.
Yeah.
You know, preseason games.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Any other standouts as far as players, Calhoun players? There's so many of them, but
there were so many just really, really good ones.
How about that state championship? Winning that first state championship. That game wasn't easy. You guys were down at half.
Yeah, and I mean, after the game, I could have picked— they wanted somebody to speak, you know, on television. There was 10 guys I could have picked. I picked Chad Squire, Juice.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Because he was kind of the epitome of the Calhoun kid. He was our center and defensive end. But there were so many good ones. You know, we had a kid named Jason Tapin who played tackle for us and that. And when people talk about the great Calhoun players, I mean, Jason's not going to come. He was so quiet, just unassuming, till he walked out there in between the lines. And he was a great player.
Yeah.
You know, anyway, there was just a lot of them.
Hey, remember this play? This is when I was coaching with you. And it was kind of like this game, it was like the turning point for us. You know, we'd never made it to the playoffs yet. Mm-hmm. And Matt Ballman, it was like 0-0. It was us, I think, and it was us and Rout. Remember that?
Yeah, the night that Calhoun didn't sleep.
Yeah. And we ended up 0-0, and finally in the last, I don't know, the end of the game.
Right. We had him pinned down.
And Matt snags a interception.
Yeah.
Runs it for a touchdown.
Yeah, that, if I had to say, that was the play.
It was the play.
They were undefeated state champions. They had a 17-game winning streak, Rob did.
Yeah.
And we broke it, and yeah, that was something to behold.
Yeah. You know, something that they do at Calhoun that I think is a great recruiting tool. At the first game that they play in the season, they have all the kids that are going to be football players from, you know, first grade to eighth grade. They got a shirt on. It's got their name on the back. And they announce them at halftime, and they come running out on the field. Did you used to do that?
I did that. But I started that. But what we did was we did it with our eighth grade. And it was like, and they got a—
Just the eighth grade.
Yeah, it was got future Calhoun Warrior.
Yeah.
And their year, and you know, it was a big deal. They were introduced, and I think, you know, the moms might have made them something to eat and stuff like that. But they felt like kings, man.
You can see it.
Yeah, we got them out there on that field.
I mean, you can see those kids, man. They're just like, can't wait to be a warrior one day.
Yeah,
you know, it's super.
We didn't lose too many of them after that.
Yeah. No. Hey, if you're just joining us, I have Rick Johns, career football coach, coached at many schools. We're talking a little bit about Calhoun because that's where we coached together at years ago. So what's next?
Like I told you on our last episode, I'm just working really hard to be the best retired guy I can be, you know. I like my Illinois football and basketball. My wife and I, we have our own little routine. I got grandkids, you know, coming along.
Yeah.
I love dearly.
You got any little football players there?
You know, I've only got one grandson right now. And I tell you what, if it works out, you know, he's a twin. And he's just a toddler right now. But, you know, my daughter, Cassie, she's always been blessed with quick twitch muscle fiber.
That's good.
And the dad is like 6'4".
Could be.
Yeah. I mean, you know, his dad's a big cat. So, I mean, Tommy Brinson might be a pretty good player. Whether I'm around to see it or not, that's—
Hey, let's, you know, you were always good at reading players, knowing players. How about some advice, tips that you think parents today, you know, I mean, parents always, I mean, you know, every father, if he loves football and wants his son to be successful at football, there's some things they can do, some things they shouldn't do. What's your opinion on the do's and don'ts of helping a young boy become a good football player?
Well, first of all, don't buy into the game where you have to start playing the kid at 6 years old when the helmets are bigger than they are.
Yeah.
You know, I know—
You're not for that.
You know what?
Experienced it.
I've experienced it, and all my success at Calhoun, for instance, and a lot of it, say, at Trenton Westland, and some at Troy, at Triad, we get these kids having never, ever played a down. When these kids came to Calhoun, they learned how to put on pads for the first time.
Yeah.
You know, and that was, we had plenty of time to get these kids ready. But the way sports are anymore, I think everybody feels if they don't
get started early.
Yeah. So, and that's fine. I know, for instance, Calhoun's got a great little league or whatever, junior program.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what I'm saying is, if there's a kid left behind that matures a little bit late, just because he didn't play in seventh grade or eighth grade, that doesn't mean he can't go out and be a hell of a football player before it's over.
Mm-hmm.
Play anyway. You're going to get there. You'll catch up by your sophomore year, you know?
Uh-huh. Well, what would you suggest for parents?
Well,
don't start them young?
Well, I tell you what, I wouldn't start them too young.
Yeah.
I think junior high, you know, if you want to get them started, junior high, I think that's fine.
Yeah.
There's just a lot being said anymore about the, you know, the
it's brain. It's a tough game.
Yeah, and you take a guy, and these guys are so rare, who starts off playing, you know, when they're six, and then they end up playing in the NFL. You know, that's just a lot of collisions.
Yeah.
You know, that's a lot of dings to the head. And football is doing such a great job right now at alleviating that type of thing. But if your kid wants to play football, I know it's scary, Mom. I do. I really do. But the thing is, there are so many good things that come out of football that maybe I'm biased, but I don't think it can be replicated in any other game. I really don't. There's nothing like sitting in a locker room pregame, getting ready to go out with your guys. And I mean,
it's almost like a street fight.
Yeah. And you know, it's, I don't know of another game where your success is so contingent on that guy next to you.
Yeah.
Everybody's got to do their job.
Yeah.
And it's hard. You know, I think our country, I think we need hard.
Yeah. And you got to play. You got to play if it's raining. You're going to play. You know, it's muddy out. If it's hot out, you know, you don't get the perfect conditions.
I've had so many kids, too, that played through painful things.
Yeah.
You know, hurts. And they play because of their dedication to that uniform, that school, and most of all to those guys in the huddle with them. You know, I one of my favorite players ever, Brian Matthews, we call him Bud. I remember him dislocating a knee one night, and we're winning. We didn't have to get him back in there. But he had his kneecap. Doc Randy told me what's going on. His kneecap was out of place. Anyway, at some point, I turn around, and there's, you know, Brian. He's trying to get that kneecap back in, you know, manually by hand. He wanted back in that game, you know. So, I mean,
Well, how about for young players, you know, young kids that want to be a football player? Mm-hmm. What's your advice for them?
Play and you just hope that you have a coach that sells the game and they have fun. Because I tell you what, for every two kids that have fallen in love with the game and gone on to play football because of their youth experience, there's two that decided they're not football players and gave it up because they had a coach who just didn't get it. You know, it's not about winning at that early age. You know, if you go undefeated, you know, in the following year, four of your kids decide not to play, well, you failed. You know, your job is to sell football and make the kids love the game because it's hard. And they will benefit from it if they hang with it, but it's, you know, it's hard.
Yeah.
So you gotta have them love it.
I just remember me as a child. I wanted to play football so mm-hmm. bad. We played street. I mean, we played, you know, just football.
Gridiron.
Yeah,
Anchors.
Gridiron Anchors. You know.
Yeah.
Played down there. You know, every Saturday, every time we could, and we played tackle. You know, I mean, it was tackle, and
rugby.
It was rough, but I couldn't wait. I could not mm-hmm. hardly wait to get to high school to play football, you know. Loved every second. Every second that I was in practice, you know, even though we didn't win. You know, we didn't win, but I just loved playing so much.
Yeah. So many of my teams, Chris, going back to when I played in high school, toughest kids, great teams, bad teams, all kinds of teams, all had one thing in common. Last whistle, whatever, when the season was over, these kids are crying.
Yeah.
They're just devastated that it's over.
Yeah, I know.
You know, and for something that tough, and, it, you know, win or lose, these guys just knowing that they've done that for the last time.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what your record was in high school.
We were good.
You were good.
We were in East St. Louis good.
Yeah. My teams were, that I played on, we weren't good. We didn't win many games, you know.
Right.
But I mean, we still loved it. I mean, sure. We didn't win, you know, but
yeah.
And teams, you know, like my brother Jeff, they had a good team. You know, they played, mm-hmm. they were competitive, and teams after us just are, you know, we just had a hard time scoring. There's a lot of good, well, you know, the conference that we were in, it was seasoned, it was tough, you know,
yeah,
and
best small schools,
yeah, the WIBC, it was tough, but I'm glad you came along, and
I am too.
You came along and turned Calhoun,
yeah,
is there's such a football community.
Yeah.
They love their football.
Yeah.
You know.
Can I put in a plug for...
Put it in.
All those great female teams they got going over there.
I know.
Oh, my God. Calhoun is like... They're an anomaly of athletic success.
And been doing it year after year.
Yeah, it's amazing. So, girls, God, hats off to you. I'm really proud of you.
Yeah. Yeah, they're something else.
Yeah.
We won state softball and basketball and volleyball.
Yeah, well,
they.
And whenever I was there, I mean, that was
no, but that was years ago.
Yeah,
you know,
it's amazing. Women's
sports have really improved,
right? And that has to say a lot about the coaches too. I mean,
yeah, got some good women coaches.
Yeah,
and men coaches, but
right,
they've got some good ones.
Yeah.
Well. Any last words do you want to say to our listeners here in the Tri-County?
Well, you know, I appreciate you having me over. Love to talk football. It's, you know, I mean, I really love to talk Calhoun football. You know, it was such a impactful time in my life.
What was your record at Calhoun?
Boy.
You remember?
I can't tell you exactly. Yeah,
two state championships. One runner up.
Numerous
semifinals. And how many times you're in the playoff? I mean,
It was, you know, I know it was over 120 wins, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
But, and you know, the thing is, we had two losing seasons to start, and mm-hmm. then we never. Yeah, our worst record after that was we had a 5-4 team that lost two overtime games, one at Greenfield and one at Triopia. But anyway, that would have been a decent playoff team too, I think.
Yeah. So, hats off to the girls over there in Calhoun.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Proud of them.
Yeah.
And the coaches.
Yep. So. And the boys team, they're doing well too.
Yeah, they've got it going. They've got it going.
They should do good this year.
Yeah, I think they were. And I got to tell you, when I was watching these Camp Point teams, boy, they were very reminiscent of the Calhoun teams when we first got it going.
Yeah.
Same type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, and they just had a little bit more than we did.
Yep.
You know, mm-hmm. today's team. But year in, year out, man, they just keep going. They're looking good.
Well, Rick, thanks so much for coming in today. Nice talking football with you.
Anytime you get caught in a pinch, give me a call.
All right. Love it.
All right, sure. Okay.
Well, take care.
Bye.